Right, we're ready to start Parshat Ve'etchanan. And things start to take a significant turn. We get into some really gorgeous parshiot in Sefer Devarim and in Kol HaTorah Kula, honestly. Ve'etchanan, Ekev, beginning of Re'eh. But before we jump into the Pesukim of Ve'etchanan, what I want to start with is a little bit of background to give us context for Parshat Ve'etchanan. Ve'etchanan and Ekev are sometimes, first of all, they on the surface are hard to distinguish from each other. They seem to be very musary parshiot. There's a lot of repetitive phrases. It's Moshe Rabbeinu really telling us a lot about it, what it means to be an Ovid or an Ovedet Hashem. So what's happening with these parshiot? Where are they coming from? How is this natural extension? And how do we get to Ve'etchanan from Parshat Devarim? When we talked about Parshat Devarim, we emphasized the importance in understanding Parshat Devarim of this overlapping of two cycles of the year. We said that one cycle was a cycle of the Parshiot, the Torah reading, and Elior. The other cycle is the months of the year, right? There's the actual cycle of the holidays, of the flow of the year, and then there's the cycle of the Parshiot. And we have, the foundation of our most critical shiur on Parshat Devarim was the fact that the Shabbos that we read Parshat Devarim is always right before the Shabbat, known as Shabbat Chazon. Similarly, if every single year Devarim is Shabbat Chazon, then by default, Parshat Ve'etchanan must always fall out on Shabbos Nachamu. That opens up worlds of thought. And it doesn't open up worlds of thought just for Parshat Ve'etchanan. Now, we refer to Shabbat Nachamu, the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av. What does Shabbos Nachamu mean, by the way? The Shabbos of comfort. Of consoling. We're going to totally redefine that and actually define it correctly. But for now, we'll call it the Shabbos of comfort, even though that's totally wrong. Right? Let's in fact call it Shabbos Nachamu. But it's not just Shabbos Nachamu. We celebrate it, we get into it, get very excited about it, we're coming out of Shabbat Av, we're moving back into a place where things are good, and there's good feelings on Shabbos Nachamu. And because of that, we forget that it's not just one Shabbat. It's actually the beginning of a whole process. Anybody familiar with what the process is called? The Shiva Dinechemta or the Zion Dinechemta. It's not 1 week. It's the first of 7 weeks. A 7 week process that we all space out for. A 7 week process of Nechama. It's not just that Shabbos. So the explosion of Nechama is going to come from a Shabbos that's called Shabbos Nachamu. This is where it starts. This is the kickoff of it. This is where we need to get into it and understand what it is and what's going to happen over the next 7 weeks. That's a long time. So we go from... Let's map it out. We'll do it the other way. We start with Tisha B'Av, unfortunately. Tisha B'Av, we see destruction. Then we come to Shabbat Nachamu. And that starts off 7 weeks of Nechama. Again, the Zayin D'Nechemta. The 7 weeks of Nechama. When do the Zayin D'Nechemta end? What's 7 weeks later? Excellent. That takes us all the way to Rosh Hashanah. And what comes after Rosh Hashanah? Then Yom Kippur. Then we have the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Then we have... Also true. Then we have Rosh Hashanah, thank you. Then we have the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Then we have Yom Kippur. Then we have... Sukkot. And then we have... Shmini Atzeret. Whoa! That just became a thing. Right now, it's not happening in isolation in the middle of the summer out of nowhere, and then, there's a whole process happening here. That Shabbat Chazon sets us on the course for Tisha B'Av, but then in the wake of Tisha B'Av, we have Shabbos Nachamu, Tu B'Av, Elul, leading into Rosh Hashanah, and the Zayin and Nechemta are all taking place in that period. Meaning also that there's some correlation between Nechama, Tu B'Av, all of Elul, and the entire preparation for Rosh Hashanah. These are 7 weeks. 7 weeks, what marks them? What halachically is what marks them as the Zayin and Nechemta, by the way? Anybody familiar with that? There's 7 weeks where the haftarah for those 7 weeks is specifically linked to issues of Nechama and not to the issues of the Parsha. Now, those of you who stuck around for Halacha Shir a few weeks ago, what's your question for me?
Shouldn't it be that the haftarah reflects the last thing that you read?
In the Parsha, yes! That we said, we learned when we were talking about the Arba Parshiot, that the haftarah always links to the last thing that you read. So how is it possible that we're reading haftarot that have to do with Nechama and not have to do with Devarim? So one answer could be, before you know my answer, because you know where I'm going with this, you right, could be like, no, that's what's crazy about this time of the year is that we're reading haftarot that don't have to do with the Parsha. Or a sensitive person understands what you all were about to say, which is all of Devarim is all about Nechama. The seven center parshiot, parshiot 2 through 8 of 11 of Sefer Devarim, all fall out in the Zayin and Nechemta, and I would say it's stronger based on what you guys understood intuitively, which is that if we're reading haftarot that have to do with Nechama during those 7 weeks, it means that all of those seven parshiot inherently have to do with whatever Nechama is. That's what those parshiot are about. And that gets us to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah takes us to Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur takes us to Sukkot, and Sukkot is Shmini Atzeret, and that wraps up the time of the year of those holidays. Now, what's interesting about what it also wraps up? Sefer Devarim ends on Shmini Atzeret. We read Vizot HaBracha. This whole period of the year and Sefer Devarim are one. For those listening on recording, there were mouths that were open, even though they didn't actually gasp. There were some open mouths, right? It's a crazy thing. We don't think about that. We're so busy either not paying attention to anything during the summer or only paying attention to the Chagim at that time of the year that we don't realize that Devarim is what literally draws a map for us from Tisha B'Av through Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, Simchat Torah. That is Sefer Devarim. Those two things need to link up. Those things need to match up. Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense because if the beginning of Sefer Devarim is part of the thing by Egal, then you can see through the process.
We'll get to your point in 1 second. Let's build up to Elise's point. Give me 1 second. What is the process? Now, assuming that, again, the Zayin and Nechemta in and of themselves, in time, forgetting about the Parshiot, in time, the Zayin and Nechemta show us there's a link from Tisha B'Av to Rosh Hashanah. It's not even, there shouldn't be 2 hours, there's only 1 hour. Right? It takes us from Tisha B'Av to Rosh Hashanah. Think about it thematically. What does it mean to move from Tisha B'Av to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot? What's the movement from one to another? Moving on? Well, think about it. What's Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur about? Tshuva. Right? Think about those two balancing each other out. That it's bridging these two parts. There's a process here. Where on Tisha B'Av we go through a process of Chorban. We recognize our destructive capacity. We see the ramifications of our actions. What happens when we sin? We move from Chorban or destruction. It's the process from Chorban to Tshuva. And in fact, when we then even get to Sukkot, what does the name Sukkot mean? A sukkah. What do we do? How does a sukkah happen? You build it. We build a new home. We go from Korban to Binyan. inherently underneath this process is Chorban, to tshuva, to binyan. But that tshuva process is what's taking us, what's taking over the course of Sefer of this time of the year. From Chorban to tshuva to binyan. From what else happens on Tisha B'Av? What primarily happens on Tisha B'Av? Not only does the Beit HaMikdash get destroyed, but then what happens to us? From Galut to Geula. And everything about Sukkot is all about Geula. Moving us from Galut to Geula. That's what's happening with Sefer Devarim as well. It's taking us from Chorban, right? That's why we re-emphasize what it is that causes Chorban in Parsha Devarim. That's our starting point, to understand how damaging our broken perspectives are. How damaging what happens at Chet HaMeraglim and everything that that encapsulates. How damaging that can be. And that process of tshuva to binyan and from galut to experiencing exile to then being able to achieve geula. And what way do we achieve geula in Sefer Devarim? What did we say the whole goal of Devarim was? Very literally. To get us back into Eretz Yisrael. That is geula. That's one layer of geula by definition. We were at the border of Eretz Yisrael. We were thrown back out to the desert and now we're trying to go back into the land. It's the movement from galut to geula. And that's all taking place in the context of this time of the year, which now we've just drawn together, which is so, your experience of this time of the year, hopefully next year, should be that much more meaningful. They're not just random spots happening all throughout the summer. This is a process from Shabbat Chazon, and even before that, the Gimel Depor Anuta, the 3 weeks that preceded, which are also 3 weeks of destruction, from Shavas Arba Tammuz to Tisha B'Av, and then from Tisha B'Av through the Zayin de Nechemta and Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aser Tumejuba, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret. But that's also taking place within the realm of Sefer Devarim. This is another goal of what Sefer Devarim is out to accomplish. Not because it's at this time of the year, but because these two times of the year are parallel. It's chicken and egg. It doesn't matter which one came first. These two are going out to accomplish the same things, and that's why they overlap. Yeah.
So not like you pointed out, it's so clear and obvious for this particular Sefer.
We said that before, that all Svarim, it has to be true of all Svarim.
Right.
Why is the Mishkan so intricately linked to Purim? We're up to the Mishkan Parshiot now. Why is the beginning of Vayikra linked to Pesach? Why is the beginning of Amidbar linked to Shavuot? Yes, one has to ask that at every juncture of the year, 100%.
I just think this is so clear cut, like the other ones.
Now that you... was this clear cut 10 minutes ago? Yeah, we have to learn it. I'm saying we have to learn about it. But when one examines the Torah and looks at the Torah through this lens, you find that this is always true. This is always true. We're coming up to Purim in 2 weeks, which is all about seeing God within the physical world. So what are we doing in these parshiot? We're building a mishkan out of boards and out of gold and out of silver, this physical thing. But what's the purpose of this physical thing? That the Shekhinah should come and rest within the physical world and to see godliness within the physical world. To recognize that we're living in the Kodesh HaKadoshim inside of ourselves, inside of the world, at all times in our lives. That's what Purim is. It's to look at the physical world and see the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and to see Kedusha, see a Kodesh Baruch Hu. More needs to be poured into that, but it's always true. There's always the overlap. I held back there. That was all I said about Purim. I wanted to say... Let's focus on this. Yeah, it's coming. Yes?
My question is...
When you remember, come back to it.
It was more like a...
You can come back to it.
Okay.
What starts off this process? What kicks off the whole now, the new direction of Sefer Devarim, and what kicks off this process in the year? What did we refer to it as? Shabbos Nachamu. And the Zayin de Nechemta, that's really the bulk of the Sefer. So now we have to come back and define, what is Nechama? Now if we want to take the view that it means to console, miracles or to comfort, we're going to have two problems. One is, that's not a particularly compelling sefer. It's the book where God comforts you for the mistakes that you've made. It's like, that's not how life works, and that's certainly not how tshuva works. So that doesn't line up. Not only does it not line up there, it doesn't line up with the way that the word nechama is used the first place it appears in Chumash, which gives us our definition of what nechama really is about. The first place that the word nechama, that the root of nechama appears in Chumash, is all the way back in the end of Parshat Bereshit. Source number one on your sheets, Bereshit Perek Vav Pasuk Hey, after the Mabul. Nope, before the Mabul. After we get kicked out of Gan Eden, after Kain and Hevel, and right before the Mabul. Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'ata Adam ba'aretz. God saw how overwhelming the evil of man was in the land. And the inclinations of his heart were only evil all day. Man was in a very bad, ra place. Pasuk Vav. Vayinachem Hashem ki asah Hashem. Now, based on our translation, it would be, God was very sad in his heart because he was comforted over man. Does that sound like the lead into the Mabul? God was sad in his heart because he was comforted over man? This is talking about how horrible man is and how it led to the destruction of the world, except for Noah and his family and the people and the animals in the Teva. So that's clearly not what Vayinachem here means. God wasn't comforted here. God's upset. That's the end of the pasuk. Vayitatzev el libo. So in one of the explanations of Rashi, he says something very powerful. Source number two. End of the line. Davar acher. Vayinachem nehefcha machashavto shel makom. This is speaking by Lashon B'nai Adam. God doesn't change his mind. But what the words of Rashi mean here is that God changed his mind. God reconsidered. God had a new perspective on humanity and on who they were and what they were capable of, and that made him sad, so to speak. And Rashi continues to emphasize this point, the next underline. V'chein kol lashon nichum b'mikra, every time it uses nichum in Torah Shebechtav, lashon nimlach ma la'asot, it's thinking about things in a new way. Then he gives a whole bunch of examples. Last underline, end of the Rashi. Kulam lashon machashava acheretim, it's all a different way of thinking about things. Nechama is everything that we've been talking about that Sefer Devarim is about. What is the purpose of Sefer Devarim? What is the purpose of the Mishnah Torah? It's all about taking a new perspective, seeing things differently. The Mishnah Torah, which is the book of going over things to see them with a new perspective, takes place during the Zayin de Nechemta, a period of the year not of where we're meant to be consoled. It's a period of time in the year where we're meant to shift our perspective entirely. Now, we normally get stuck in thinking about nechama milashon, English, comfort. Because what do we normally associate with nechama or nichum? Nichum aveilim. When one goes to pay a shiva call lo aleinu. Why would he use the word nechama there, nichum aveilim? Yes, now, one should not go into a shiva house and do that actively. That needs to be done with care and concern and subtlety and you know, it has to be done very delicately. But the goal of, one of the goals of shiva, and one of the goals of Nichum Aveilim, us going to visit the mourner, is that we're meant to help shift that person's perspective and show them, not necessarily actively, not in a way that's, again, that's insensitive to what the person's going through, but to show them that, yes, their whole life has been lived in the context of this person, but even though that person is no longer with them, life can still continue. When they see that person's life end, there's a sense that how can life go on without them? And by going and visiting them and being close to them and supporting them, we're showing them, we're shifting their perspective that, yes, it's so painful that you've lost that person, but life will march on. Your life will continue even in the absence of that person. That's the heart of what Nichum Aveilim is. Not in an insensitive way, but in an empowering way. Embrace the loss. You'll keep the loss with you. But you need to be able to keep moving forward. Your life still has its trajectory. Your life still has its arc. Nichum, nechama, is all about changing perspective. That's what the Zayin de Nechemta is about. That's what Sefer Devarim is about. The goal of Sefer Devarim, it sets out its goal at the beginning. We're told that we think we have a broken perspective. That God, as we talked about before, that they see God as being a God of hate, who took them out of Egypt because he hates them and is going to wipe them out because he hates them. That he's a God of hate, who guides the world with hate, to take them to a land of hate. And to totally transform their perspective. That God is a God of love, who guides us with love, to take us to a land of love. Total shift. That we need to shift how we see God. We need to shift our understanding of what Hashem. We need to shift who we are and how we relate to God. We need to come back to who we were always meant to be. We were meant to be a certain people who came out of Egypt, and we strayed. We need to come back. We were created as a certain type of person in Gan Eden, and we strayed, and we need to come back to who we are. Remember when we talked about in that year also, God comes and says, Hayeka, where are you? You've strayed so far from where you are. You need to come back. You need to do tshuva. You need to lashuv, return to where you are, return to the way I created you. Come back to a proper perspective. Come back to an objective perspective on reality. To leave behind all of your agendas, all of your poisoned perspectives. Leave them behind. And come back to viewing the world objectively and seeing me and the world and the way I'm guiding it in this land of Israel for what they are. And that's going to be a long and painful process. Not where God is comforting us. Where we're shifting everything about how we see the world. Letting go of all of our hang-ups with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And seeing God for who He is and coming back to Him. Which is that recognition. That's why it bridges Tisha B'Av to Rosh Hashanah. What happens on Rosh Hashanah? What are we actually doing on Rosh Hashanah? What is the one thing we're doing on Rosh Hashanah? Malchios, recognizing that God is the King of the world. Period. That's the bridge. Going from seeing God as the adversary to God as being that loving King who takes care of us and gives us life. And then apologizing for that wrong perspective and then coming to live with Him in that Sukkah. Coming to live with Him in Eretz Yisrael. Those are the processes we're going through in the time of the year and in Sefer Devarim. I strongly suspect that that's how we really are meant to understand the Haftarah of Parshat Ve'etchanan, the Haftarah of Nechama. Right, source number 3, Yeshayahu Perek Mem. Nachamu nachamu ami yomar elokechem. It doesn't mean be comforted, my people. God isn't coming to comfort them, they just sinned. Now, most of the Rishonim understand it to mean God is telling the Nevi'im, Nachamu nachamu ami, go help bring Nechama to my people, which you could understand as meaning comfort. I would say, no, what do the Nevi'im do? What's the job of the Nevi'im? To help them see the way of God. They're there to guide the Jewish people. Nachamu nachamu ami, now that they've seen the destructive actions, go and show them, pave them for the, help them pave the way back to God. And that's the content here. Now that you've seen how destructive you are, Dabru alev Yerushalim v'kiyur eleha. I haven't seen this in the Mefarshim explicitly. I wonder, personally, if it shouldn't be read as, my people, nachamu nachamu ami, shift your perspective, Klal Yisrael. And instead of speaking badly about Eretz Yisrael, instead of speaking badly about Yerushalayim, instead of seeing the Ra that doesn't really exist in Yerushalayim, instead, what's the next pasuk? Dabru alev Yerushalayim, Devarim. Start to speak to Yerushalayim. Re-enter into a relationship with Yerushalayim. Reconnect with Yerushalayim. The Kiru Eleha, and call out to it. Ki malat zva, ki nirtza avona, ki lacha miyad Hashem, ki flayim achokachotea. Kol korei b'midbar, there's a voice that cries out in the desert to the people of the desert. Pnu derech Hashem yashru ba'arava mesila l'elokeinu. Go and now start to walk in the derech of Hashem, walk in the path that God puts before you. Don't pave your own path. Walk in the derech Hashem, understand who God is. Embrace the Hashkacha of Hashem. Yeshuba Arava Mesila Lokinu, forge a path to God through the desert and back to Eretz Yisrael and back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's so many layers of what's happening there in that paragraph of Nachman. It's not just about being comforted. It's a cry out to the Nevi'im to comfort us, but to comfort us through telling us we can go back if we shift our perspective. See Yerushalayim differently. Start talking to Yerushalayim. Start talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Start walking in the Derech of Hashem. But that's very complicated, because what is the Derech of Hashem? How do I know what the Derech of Hashem is? In the times of Yeshayahu, we didn't have the Sefer. The Ramchal wasn't alive yet. He hadn't written the book yet. So how do we know what is Derech Hashem? Sefer Devarim. Sefer Devarim is Derech Hashem. In fact, on Shabbos Shuvah, at the end of the process, we read a Haftarah that relates to Shuvah. Or that Parsha. Same thing. And I've never seen this pshat in the pasuk, but I have always suspected it to be the case, especially in the context of this conversation. It's something, it became a song over time, but it's an incredibly powerful pasuk, and we sing it. I don't think we realize what we're saying, because it doesn't have any meaning otherwise, unless you really understand it in this context, in my humble opinion. Source number five. Sorry, source number four. Shuvah Yisrael al Hashem. God is telling the Jewish people, return to God. Do tshuva, return to God. Shuvu al Hashem Elokecha ki chashalta ba'avonecha. And then the next pasuk, what does it say? Kechu imachem divarim. V'shuvu al Hashem. Take divarim. What divarim with you are you supposed to take? So the Mefarshim understand that it's the next sentence which is being said in the end of the pasuk. True. I think there's a much simpler understanding. The book was already written. Kechu imachem. Take with you Sefer Devarim. Now that we've finished Sefer Devarim, we read this all the way at the end of Sefer Devarim. This is the Haftarah all the way at the end of Sefer Devarim. And we're saying, now that we've used Devarim to understand what the Tshuva process is, to understand who Hashem is, how He guides the world, what Eretz Yisrael is, Kichu Imachem Devarim, go and take Sefer Devarim and use that Shuvu El Hashem, and use it to bring you back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because this is the book of tshuva. This is the book of nechama. This is the book of new perspectives. This is the book that will define for us what is the objective perspective on our relationship with God, the way He guides the world in Eretz Yisrael. What is the objective perspective on how, what the role we're supposed to play in that is, on how we get to Geula, on how we get to tshuva, on how we get to Eretz Yisrael, on how we get to Olam Haba. This is what this Sefer is. And that's why it takes place during this time of the year. As one example of that, and not even to jump too far ahead in Sefer Devarim, look at this pasuk and see how beautifully it counters the poisoned perspective that we had. This comes from Devarim, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Vav. All the way at the end of Parshat Ve'etchanan. And we'll get into more about what Ve'etchanan is about inside tomorrow, or on Wednesday. But hear the words. Source number five, it's in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Vav, in your Chumashim. Ki am kadosh ata l'Hashem Elokecha. You are a holy nation to Hashem your God. Becha bechar Hashem Elokecha, God chose you. Liot lo l'am skula, to be a treasured people for Mikol Amim, from all the nations shel panei adam, on the earth. Lo merubchem mikol ha'amim, chashak Hashem bachem. Not because you were so numerous did God choose you. Vivchar bachem. Ki atem al mikol ha'amim. You're actually the least numerous of all the nations. God didn't choose you for any external reason. Why did God choose you? Hear the words now. Watch the change of perspective. Hear the words. Ki me'ahavat Hashem etchem. Out of God's love for you. U'mishamru at hashvoa nershinshpa lavotechem. And because He kept His promise to your forefathers. Hotzi Hashem etchem biyad chazaka v'yavtecha mi'beit avadim mi'yad paro melech Mitzrayim. Why did God take you out of Egypt? Out of His love for you. I mean, to me, it just screams out as the opposite, a counter to Me'sinat Hashem Otanu Otzanu Mitzrayim. Here he's saying, no. Ki me'ahavat Hashem etchem u'mishamru at hashvuan shenishpa lavotechem hotzi Hashem etchem biyad chazaka v'yavtecha mi'beit avadim mi'yad paro melech Mitzrayim. God guides you out of love. That's how the first parsha of the Zayin de Nechemta comes to a close. Shabbos Nachamu comes to a close by setting forth the goal of what we're meant to get to, what we're meant to achieve. What does it mean to really relate to God as a God of Tov, to feel His Hashkachan Hanagah as a guiding hand of Tov? What does it mean to go to a land of Tov and to be a God of love, a guiding of love, a land of love? Now we're ready to enter into Vetchanan and Nekev. Now we can start to understand what's happening in these parshiot. So this is a background to the whole rest of the Sefer. And for each individual parasha, particularly Parshat Vetchanan, we'll jump into the really dense, beautiful Divrei Musar and Divrei Hashkafa of Moshe Rabbeinu that is Parshat Vetchanan, Bezrat Hashem, on Wednesday.